Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Got to sit home, watch some football, and I found that Tom Brady is right. There's a lot of bad ball out there, man. Just a lot of, and all of it, most of it, large percentage of it, is in the NFC. I mean, these teams, you tell me who's good anymore. I'll tell you who's not. Well, let's start with the NFC South, because all of a sudden, and maybe not all of a sudden, but surely it is now, this NFC South race, even though the Bucs have a bye week and so they're sitting here at 5-5, still in first place, but only by a half a game now, because the Falcons beat the Chicago Bears 27-24 in a game where the Bears helped a whole lot. The Falcons aren't going to go away. I'm convinced that they will, you know, because they're in the NFC South, they will continue to sort of, you know, beat up each other, and these teams will hover around 500. But you made a good point, Steve, before we came on the podcast, that if the Falcons win next Sunday and the Bucs lose at Cleveland, the Falcons are in first place in the NFC South. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have not had their bye week yet. That's going to come, I think, week 14, so it's like mid-December. They have a really late bye week.
Yeah.
So they've played the extra game. They're now 5-6, just a half game below 500, which is also a half game behind the Bucs, who are 500. So, yeah, I mean, if you know, the Bucs, granted, they're going to Cleveland. Like to think there's a good chance, although who knows what the weather will be like. I haven't looked that far ahead yet. Maybe you have. There's been some crazy weather in the Midwest and Northeast. Yep. But, yeah, I mean, this division is not over, and we know, I mean, the Bucs are not playing the best of football this year.
No. No, and I mean, presumably, you know, with the week off, they get some guys back, they get some bodies healed up, but I don't know what work, you know, the coaches have done. The players have been off. I saw where Tom Brady was in New York with his kids, and so that's good for him. But I don't, you know, I remember a year ago, it was the bye week when they had sort of the summit, if you will, it was 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl, actually, that they had the little summit and with Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich, and they wound up never winning it or losing another game. This year, I don't know what they've done in the bye week, but I do know this. The Atlanta Falcons, I mean, That game turned when Cordero Patterson returned a kickoff about 600 yards. I don't know what it was. It was 104 yards or something like that. He had had a fumble, and so he atoned for that. I didn't realize this. That's his ninth kickoff return for a touchdown?
The most all time.
It's crazy. How did this happen?
I would have thought Devin Hester would have been the most all time.
Yeah, now, me too.
And Devin Hester had 20 returns for touchdowns in his career.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them were punt returns.
Mm-hmm.
He had a field goal return.
Okay.
You know, standing in the end zone, the field goal short.
Yeah,
he's returned that.
Short.
And he's returned some kickoffs, but he did not return nine kickoffs.
Nine.
Because I would have thought Devin Hester was the leader by far. And turns out it's Cordarrelle Patterson now.
Unbelievable. And he had a good game. He can do it all. I mean, he's a good receiver. He's a good running back. They can put him in the backfield. They can do a lot of things with him. This game, the Bears sort of gave a little bit to Atlanta, I thought, but Atlanta stayed in it, chipped away. Late interception, the Bears had a chance to go down and win the game with a field goal, but then a late interception kind of doomed that inside of 2 minutes. I'm convinced, and I also watched the Saints sort of muddle their way to another win, and they're a couple games back at this point, but, you know, still very much alive. They beat what is just a hapless Rams team. You think about the victory that the Bucs had before they went to Germany, right? They beat the Rams sort of on that last 2 minute drive, and actually Brady had to go down there twice and got him in the end zone there at the end of the game. They lose 27-20 to the Saints. Andy Dalton's still the quarterback. They're muddling around, but not out of it totally. They're at 4-7. The Bucs will play them on a Monday Night Football game in a few weeks. So this thing is going to get interesting, man, because, you know, you got to go to Cleveland where it could be cold. There's going to be some weather. They got to go to San Francisco as well. They got the Saints on Monday night in between that, I think. So there's a lot that's still, you know, so much season left.
There's a lot of season left. And you know, this is the time where, you know, the Bucs on their bye week, maybe they figured some stuff out, or maybe they've, you know, this is the time when coaches self-scout. And,
right,
you know, you kind of figure out what you're doing that teams are either figured out, or what you're doing that's too obvious, or you just got time to evaluate yourself and figure out what you're going to do differently. And as you mentioned, 2 years ago, that's when Bruce and Tom were supposed to play golf, couldn't.
Right.
But they got together anyway, and Byron, and changed the offense up, and they started a lot more motion and more play action and more what Tom Brady knows and likes in the NFL. And then they took that and ran all the way to the Super Bowl and won it. Your hope is with the struggles this year, that one, the bye week helps some guys get healthy, but two, that you can figure out some more creative ways to run your offense in ways to stop the other team, too, defensively. I mean, the defense has been good this year. They've just given up opportunities at the wrong times.
Late scores, yeah. Mm-hmm. They haven't finished some games. They've given up some late scores, and they did that even in Germany. Mm-hmm. Helped a little bit by the offense and that interception that, you know, Leonard Fournette threw trying to hit Tom Brady, so that was kind of a ridiculous play. But, you know, they played better the last couple of weeks, and certainly Devin White has done that and some others. But, yeah, it's they're not – you couldn't really say. I mean, we're looking at five quarters of good football that they've had in the last 2 months, right? After the wins at Dallas and New Orleans, you know, they struggled mightily. And then they had the last quarter, the last couple drives of the Rams game. And the Rams are not a good football team, to say the very least. And then, you know, they played a complete game in Germany. The defense, maybe not so much because of the two fourth quarter scores. But, you know, for the most part, that's it. That's what you're hanging your hat on for the second half of this season, is at 5-5. They've got a little bit of momentum with a two-game winning streak, but I'm here to tell you, they still haven't really figured it out. They haven't played great football. So, you know, and this is what, I mean, who's good in the NFC? You know who's good? No one. Absolutely no one. I mean, did you see the Dallas Cowboys go into Minnesota against the Vikings team that was, what, 8-1, I think, going into the game? And they hung a 40-burger on them.
I could make a case Dallas is the best team in the NFC.
You could? Sure.
I mean, let's not forget they played a lot of the season so far without Cooper, or they, you know, without Dak.
Right.
Ezekiel Elliott's been in and out of the lineup. I mean, Tony Pollard's fantastic. But when Zeke is back full-time, you're going to have two of those guys in the backfield.
Right.
Micah Parsons is a beast on defense.
Well, yeah. I mean, he had two more sacks. I don't know why he was in the game at, you know, 34 to whatever it was, at three, and kind of banged up his knee a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, they're, you know, Pollard's playing great. And then how about this? Odell Beckham Jr. reportedly has sort of narrowed down. At least he's going to take a couple of visits. One, he doesn't really need to visit because it's his former New York Giants team. But, okay, after Thanksgiving, I guess he's going to
Yeah, but different coaches, different organization. I mean,
yeah, it makes sense. Sure. By the way, they suffered a really bad loss as well on Sunday. And then, you know, the other one is Dallas. I mean, how much, you know, could he put them over the top with an off receiver?
I think that would – look, if you're Odell Beckham Jr. and reports are the Giants and Dallas are maybe the two first choices for him. You going to go play with Daniel Jones or Dak Prescott?
Not a question.
I mean, I know that the Dallas and the Giants records are either the same or, you know, close. I think they're both 7-3. But which team would you go play for?
Well, and to your point, the New York Giants just lost to the Detroit Lions, who have now won 3 in a row. And that game wasn't really that close, despite whatever the score wound up being. Daniel Jones wasn't that good. And so, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go to Big D, man. And it's not just about this year, but, you know, the next few years. I mean, he could get And listen, Jerry Jones is all but publicly campaigning for the guy. Every time he talks, it's, you know, I really believe that they'll find it here, best place for him. And they could use another receiver. They really could. Which would just put that offense over the top, I think, with Dak as he continues to play more and play better, and especially the way they're running the ball right now. And that defense, Micah Parsons, you mentioned, they had 5 or 6 sacks, I think, in the game on Sunday. So they looked impressive. You know, so listen, the NFC is wide open. And I could make an argument that, you know, because it's so wide open, that Tom Brady will find his way, right, back to the playoffs in the NFC South, which is not a good division, despite, you know, Atlanta being sort of back in it. And once they get there, who are you afraid of? You afraid of going to Minnesota if they win the NFC North and playing up there after you just watched Dallas hang 40 on them? Are you afraid of the Giants coming here? You know, I mean, none of those teams. You've beaten Dallas once.
Now, standings are now, you might be hosting Dallas.
That's true, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the Eagles are still leading that division.
That might be the best team playing right now. Mm-hmm. Even though they lost to what? They lost to Green Bay a week ago, I guess. So, yeah, I mean, it's wide open, and yet the Bucs are, you know, you can't really say, well, you know, Tampa Bay is as good as anybody else because they're 5-5. They are what their record says they are.
Yeah, actually, and technically, the Giants are the top wild card at this point.
They're the number one wild card?
Yeah, they're
okay.
They're tied with Dallas, but they have the tiebreaker.
Well, there's no one in the NFC that if they came here, because if the Bucs were to win the division, because they're not going to make it as a wild card, I don't think. If the Bucs won the division and were hosting a game, there's no one in the NFC that was a wild card that you would think they couldn't beat. I don't care who it is. And then, you know, after that, you go on the road, right? You're going to Seattle. Are you going to Minnesota? I mean, you know, which teams, certainly if Dallas were to win the division, that might be tougher. But, you know, which teams do you think you can't win at? I mean, San Francisco, you know, they're involved. They're part of it, and they're going to see them in a few weeks, which is probably the one game, I think, of the remaining games they may not be favored in, unless the Bengals are favored ahead of them at home. There's still there's games like that, too, that the Bucs have to play. From the AFC, some tough AFC teams. So their schedule doesn't get easier, but I think they will be favored in probably, I don't know, 6 of their remaining 7 games, maybe 5 of the remaining 7, depending on what you think about the Bengals. But
they're playing better.
A little bit.
They might get Jamar Chase back next week.
That would be huge, right. Without Jamar, it's tough. But they are playing better. That'll be a competitive game, to say the very least. I just don't know what to expect when they come off the bye week with the Bucs. I think in some ways, you know, having late bye is a good thing, because you don't have as many games to go before it's over, and you're getting some rest at a really important time. But by the same token, they were playing well, right? They just played their most complete game.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't carry over that momentum because, you know, it stops for a week. Now, the Bucs are going to practice today. It's kind of a bonus practice. And we'll be out there, and it's only going to be for probably an hour, hour and a half or so. We won't have a chance to talk to Todd Bowles. We're going to talk to Casey Rogers, one of their co-defensive coordinators. A couple players off the field, that sort of thing. But then they'll take Tuesday off, as they normally do, and then it's Thanksgiving week. They're still going to practice their normal days. They might move up Thursday's practice a little earlier. And then, of course, Friday is normal, and then they head out to Cleveland on Saturday. And I think, you know, it's going to be cold. Haven't checked the weather. I don't think we're going to get snow necessarily. But, you know, you got to restart. You know, you've got to try to carry over from what happened 2 weeks ago in Germany and hope you can come up with a similar game plan and similar success running the ball. Cleveland can run the ball very well. They have a good defense that can show up. They're tougher at home, obviously, but they've not played well this year. You know, I mean, they're sitting here at what, 3-7, so it's not a great football team.
I just looked it up. 45 was the high on Sunday.
45. That's balmy for that mm-hmm. part of the country.
It looks like some rain on Friday, Saturday, but Sunday looks pretty good.
Yeah. No, they're fortunate because it can be nasty. It can be snowy, cold, 20s, you know, it can be a lot of stuff after Thanksgiving. So from that standpoint, you know who's sneaky good? And the Bucks, for whatever reason, don't match up with this team, never have. The Washington Commanders. They are now 6-5.
Taylor Heineke. Every team Taylor Heineke's East, done really well.
Phenomenal.
I mean, Carson Wentz stunk it up for him, but
he did. He did. And credit Ron Rivera and those guys are saying, you know what? We're going to play the guy that wins. Mm-hmm. And that's Taylor Heineke. And that team's responded to him. And we've seen in the two games that the Bucs have played against him, he's given them absolute fits.
If the Niners lose tonight on Monday Night Football, the Commanders would be the seventh seed in the playoffs.
There you go. And that's, you know, as I always say, well, that's not a team you want to see in the playoffs. But the dude's a flat-out baller, man, you know. And Terry McLaurin, and you know, they got some weapons. Their defense is solid. Ron Rivera is always going to have a solid defense. And
they get Chase Young should be back this week for them too. He's
Chase
been out
Young's
for a
while. Coming back. Yeah, yeah. So how much better will that make them? I think you got to look at the teams, and you know, Brady has said this many times. It's about who's playing their best football after season really kind of begins. Everybody else before that, sort of positioning themselves a little bit, and then somebody's going to make a run. And the Bucs did it in 2020 when they won the Super Bowl. The Rams did it last year. We'll see teams turn a corner. Now, they made some additions that helped them, and they could again, not the Rams, I mean, but certainly Dallas could, or some other team that gets Odell, like the Rams got him a year ago. Obviously, the Von Miller trade, I think, is what put them over the top.
Well, you saw the Eagles make moves this week to get defensive tackles.
Right.
And they signed Ndamukong Suh in that. So
let me saw that, yeah.
And then went Odell Beckham's going to sign somewhere. And
Yep, it'll be some free agents now. Suh, I mean, I know some people are like, well, what in the Bucs? They made that decision in the offseason. And let's, you know, to the Bucs' credit, I mean, it's not like, I don't know if teams were beating down the door to get Ndamukong Suh or whether he just had a price. He didn't sign for a ton of money, as it turns out. But there's not much left in the season. But Philadelphia was having trouble stopping the run, you know. They got run all over by Washington. And, you know, so they bring in Ndamukong, and we know he can do that. And he keeps himself in pretty good shape. So, you know, the Bucs made that decision when they got Akeem Hicks. And when Akeem Hicks is healthy, when he's on the field, he's a factor. He's, you know, they've won their last two, not coincidentally, because he's played. And in both instances, they did a really good job against the run and made those teams one-dimensional. So,
and who looked better when he was in there?
He did.
No, yeah, I mean, Vita Vea. Vita Vea looked better because Akeem Hicks was there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you can only double-team one of those guys. Somebody's going to win. And Vita has sort of taken off since Akeem came back. And, you know, Joe Tryon showed some life. I mean, he had a sack. He had a pretty good game in Germany. We haven't heard anything from Anthony Nelson at this point, you know, trying to replace Shaq Barrett, which we still don't talk much about, but that was an enormous loss for them, you know, whether it's him or, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter. You can't really replace a Shaq Barrett. I mean, he's still an elite guy that teams have to pay attention to. So, you know, it's an interesting NFL. And what's fun to do is sit home, as I was, I don't know if you've done this yet. See, I mean, Thanksgiving's Thursday, right? And I'm kind of a Christmas guy. I don't want to be traveling. So we got our tree out. We got all that stuff. It's a big day when you do all that, man. It's exhausting, and I'm going up and down the stairs. But I'm watching football, and you know, just kind of realizing that you watch these teams, and you think, you know, are the Bucs really going to struggle against some of these teams? Like, when they put it together – and they should, at this point, they should be starting to put it together, whether it's the offensive line. You know, if Julio Jones, there's a lot of its and buts, right? But like, you think about, okay, Odell's not probably going to come to Tampa. But what if Julio Jones starts to get healthy and contribute the way he did in Germany? You know, what if he's that guy running free, you know, as a third receiver to the end zone, doing those crossing routes, and Tom Brady starts hitting him on with some regularity? I mean, if they start to have some of their free agents that they were banking on, you know, get healthy and come back and start contributing, then it could be a different story. You know, what if Rashad White, it turns out, is their running back one and becomes a guy that starts churning out 100-yard games game after game after game? You know, like those are the kind of things that just change the entire trajectory of of the season. And for that matter, you know, their defense is getting healthier with Hicks, we mentioned, with Sean Murphy bunting, with Antoine Winfield Jr. back. You know, with Devin White playing the last two games, certainly the last one, at an unworldly level. And he has grown up before our eyes, because wasn't that long ago he's taken so much heat for the Ravens and the loafs and, you know, getting dominated. And with all he's gone through with his father dying during his incarceration after complaining of back pain in Louisiana and being transported to the hospital, and you know, they get the call before Devin gets on the plane to go to Germany. I mean, he's gone through a lot as a young player, but he's responded to all this adversity in the best way he can, and that's playing his best football. So there's hope, man. There's like, if I'm a Bucs fan, I'm thinking, I didn't see anything Sunday that with Tom Brady, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, whether it's White or Fournette, if that offensive line moves people the way they did Germany,
that's the key.
If that defense shuts down the run the way they did against the Seahawks, if that pass rush gets after the quarterback, I mean, all those things you saw, the Bucs can, you know, they can play that way. If they do play that way and the turnovers start to come, then there's no one they couldn't beat. Not with Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady usually has his way of figuring things out. And I just think that, you know, that was the takeaway for me, was watching these games was, man, the NFC is wide open. Still wide open. Because you can't name a team. You want to say the Eagles? Okay, I'll give you their record, right? But they lost to the Commanders a week ago. And quite frankly, they weren't very dominant on Sunday. You know, they just kind of, they find ways to win, and that's the goal, obviously. But it's not like I'm over. I mean, they took this Philadelphia team a year ago, and, you know, ran all over them, and without any of their top running backs. They did it with Keyshawn Vaughn. They did it with Giovanni Bernard. You know, the Colts almost won their second straight game under Jeff Saturday. They lost 17-16. It was not impressive by the Eagles at all. And for being 9-1, that might be the softest 9-1 team since, what was it, a few years ago, the Steelers started out 10-0 and everybody knew that Ben Roethlisberger was done. And I don't know if they won.
I think Tom Jones came on the podcast and said they won't win a playoff game.
Yeah, I don't know that they won a game after that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they went into a tailspin. And that's sort of what this reminds me of, except that Hurts is not Roethlisberger, and they're probably a little bit better than that. But nonetheless, for a 9-1 team, you know, they've been winning, and that's what you do. But I don't know that it's, you know, to be the number one seed in the NFC. If that's the number one seed, everyone has a chance. Everyone, whether you go to Philadelphia or not, you've got a chance. So, yeah, I mean, Tom Brady and those guys should be feeling pretty good. And then, you know, not just physically, they'll be rested. They'll have fresher legs. It really helps the receivers like Mike Evans, like Chris Godwin. Guys have been, you know, playing a lot of reps, 70-80% of the snaps. So I would be encouraged just from the football that I watched if I were a Bucs fan, because, well, it's all going to depend on how they come back and play. And we'll see in Cleveland. But yeah, it was an interesting weekend to see all that. Interesting weekend in college football. Speaking of teams, I don't know nothing about college football anymore. Except that, well, a couple things. The SEC, okay, Tennessee, tragic, not in just losing to South Carolina, but your Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback out for the year with a torn ACL.
Yeah, that was rough to see. I mean, they were down, 20 at the time.
Right.
And it just kind of, you know, he went to make a cut and it just kind of buckled on him. And he's, you know, he's had a phenomenal season. You know, and it's just, you know, obviously at this point, torn ACL, you're going to miss all the draft, the combine stuff.
Oh, it's devastating.
All that stuff. I mean, you know, but I mean, he'll still get a shot in the pros, but yeah, that was just devastating. But yeah, that was a bad performance by Tennessee. South Carolina took it to them.
Yeah, I mean, and we're talking about Hendon Hooker. When he beat Alabama, and he did it, you know, just, I mean, purely outscoring him, they were, you know, had to hang 50 on him. or so. But he was the most impressive player I had seen at that position at that time. I really thought that he was sort of the front runner. You know, if you were going to say, you know, who's the front runner for the Heisman Trophy after that Alabama game, I definitely would have said that it was Hendon Hooker. Now, the best quarterback that I've seen is Caleb Williams. That game against UCLA, he was tremendous. He makes a throw, getting away from pressure, running at a dead sprint to his left, throws across his body, and hits a guy on the sticks for a first down. But it wasn't just that he, you know, his elusiveness, or that he was rolling to his left. It was the velocity on that ball. That thing was smoked. That looked like an NFL throw to me in a tight window. Right now, as we sit here now, I think he's the Heisman front runner in my mind.
You don't think it's C.J. Stroud?
Nope. Because I don't think C.J.'s been kind of – and look, he's a great player. And really, listen, the quarterback from Alabama has played as well as anybody this year, and he won it a year ago. His team hasn't won as many games, but go back and watch those games like the one against Tennessee. I think you can't blame it on him. But if you're talking about momentum and what those Heisman moments are, I think Williams is starting to have them.
You know? Well, CJ's got an opportunity this weekend.
He does, absolutely. Michigan, Ohio State.
So does Blake Corum. Caleb Williams does against Notre Dame this weekend, who, after starting 0-2, is what, 8-1 since?
Yeah, they've beaten like four or five ranked teams, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be a good one. I mean, but there's some competition now. You know, it's a little more wide open, I think, than it's been. You got a running back at Michigan that's been in the mix as well.
Yeah, Blake Corum's got a shot. I mean, he left the game injured on Saturday.
He got hurt
against Illinois. Mm-hmm. We'll see, you know, what his prognosis is for this weekend.
Right.
The kid, North Carolina May, doesn't help when you lose to Georgia Tech at home. He was starting to gain some momentum too for Heisman. His stats are phenomenal. I mean, you know, and he's a good quarterback.
Right.
But they had a rough game Saturday. There's a lot of rough games Saturday. I mean, what, the top five teams? Georgia struggled against Kentucky. Ohio State struggled at Maryland. Michigan struggled at Illinois. Took a last-second field goal to win that. TCU struggled at Baylor. Took a last-second field goal. And Tennessee got smoked by South Carolina. That was your top five this week.
Yeah, that's just brutal. I mean, there were... some teams got very lucky just to survive. And, oh, by the way, and we'll talk about that. I mean, really, Florida losing to Vanderbilt? Ugh, at Vanderbilt. Hey, before we continue here, just for a second, I want to remind you guys of May Electric Solar. You want to save money on your electric bill? Call our friends at May Electric Solar. They're a family-owned business. They've been installing solar electric systems for a dozen years. There's a lot of these companies out there, but May Electric Solar is committed to you for the long term. They guarantee their workmanship with a 30-year labor and services warranty. Something goes wrong, boom, they're out there fixing it. Plus, with every installation, you get $750 worth of surge protection for all your appliances. That is the May difference. If you visit the Hudson showroom, May Electric displays all its products. They conduct on-site testing. You can see what they'll install. Plus, they don't use subcontractors, so you know who's going to do the job. All those guys up there on that roof are Billy May's guys indeed. So, start saving money today. You can call the solar energy experts, May Electric Solar, at 727-819-2862 to schedule a free estimate. Lower your electric bill all year long. Preserve the quality of your life and that of your appliances. May Electric Solar, 727-819-2862. The team that seems to have turned it around in the state, Steve, is Florida State. They're on a roll. And they're pummeling some teams that they probably have every right to pummel. Mike Norvell, now he's a year ahead, actually a couple years ahead of the Florida program at this point. But they're starting to look like the way you'd want the program to be playing right now. And for Florida to go to Nashville and lose to Vanderbilt, which is not even a great Vanderbilt, not that there's been a lot of great Vanderbilt teams, but not a Vanderbilt team that's done much. That was, as they say, sort of a bad loss. And now you've got, you know, Florida State coming up. I was really looking forward to this game. I thought, and maybe it still would be really competitive, but Florida State's just better, I think, at this stage. Either that or Anthony Richardson and the guys, they cannot sort of level out those ups and downs. I mean, they need to sort of plane that off a little bit, and they just haven't been able to do it to this point. And so it's definitely not been a very good year for Florida football.
No, Florida State is the better team. I mean, this is year three for Mike Norvell.
Sure.
You know, this is the year you're supposed to really start taking off. I mean, this is what you'd hope Jeff Scott was doing in the American.
That's right.
At USF.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's not, that's why he's no longer the coach.
Right.
But Mike Norvell is, you know, this is year three. And this is, you know, this is the growth, the development you expect to see. You know, we knew that Florida State was in rough condition when he took it over. Jimbo's last year pretty much didn't do a lot, it looks like.
And
we've learned
that
since.
COVID.
And he's struggling now, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that the woof on his program. But
I don't know what's going on there.
What, ranked sixth preseason?
At one point.
Yeah.
They say he's unfireable, but I'm here to tell you, anyone can be fired. And if anyone can be, he should be.
I mean, you got to assume at worst case, or at best case, it's going to be a complete shakeup of the staff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's going to be a rough one there. And, you know, trying to do that in the SEC that way, that's pretty tough too. But, yeah, Florida State, I mean, this is, you know, look, for Billy Napier, we knew that this program wasn't strong at this point when he took over.
Right.
You got a good quarterback, but there's mm-hmm. still a lot of pieces you're missing, you know. And you've seen some good games by Florida this year, and then you've seen some rough ones, like struggling against USF and then losing at Vanderbilt.
Right.
You know, it's the ups and downs. You'd like to see
level off
a little more leveling in this year, and I think mm-hmm. by next year you better see that.
Right. Right.
You know, in year one, there is going to be some ups and downs. There's probably a few too many for what you'd like to see at this point.
Right.
But, you know, you're not going to judge Billy Napier till next year and the year after that.
That's true.
You know, I mean, because you've seen some really good games from them this year.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's been just, you know, a woof. There's been some of those, but, you know, you got to give him time to rebuild that program.
Right. Yeah, and Mike Norvell says they've been, you know, kind of gearing the whole season towards playing Florida, and that's coming up. I love this next weekend. We got rivalry weekend all across the country in college football before you get to the conference championship games and everything. This is sort of my favorite time in college football is when you have these coming up.
When you get the extra games on Friday.
Yeah.
And you get the Egg Bowl Thursday night.
Egg Bowl, and you've got, you know, you got the Iron Bowl. You mean you got Alabama and Auburn. Mm-hmm. If Cadillac Williams beats Alabama, just have him sign the contract after the game. I mean, I can't believe what that kid has done. I never pictured him as a coach when he was playing, but he's got them playing well, and they're playing together, and he's as Auburn as anyone they could hire right now, you know. So I'm kind of rooting for Caddy, man. It's a cool story what they're doing. If they beat Alabama, oh boy. I don't know that they will, but if they did, that would be something to watch. But, yeah, this is a great time in college football right now. Really is. So who's going to win between your Michigan and Wolverines and the Harbaughs against Ohio State? What do you think?
Tell me who's healthy for both teams.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, Blake Corum left injured. We saw C.J. Stroud limping by the end of the game.
That's true.
Travion Henderson for Ohio State, their starting running back, had a boot on at the end of the game.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, their true freshman running back, Hayden, did phenomenal against Maryland.
Right.
But, you know, I want to know who's healthy first. You know, if Blake Corum's not healthy, I don't like Michigan's chances.
That's not good. No.
He's a phenomenal running back. And it showed against Illinois they couldn't run the ball very well once he went out. And mm-hmm. the backup was hurt, too, Donovan Edwards. He's been in and out of the lineup all year. So,
yeah.
You know, so tell me who's healthy on both sides. C.J. Stroud healthy? Is Travion Henderson healthy? But
assuming
it should be a good game. I mean, look, Michigan is probably a better team than they were last year, which is hard to believe.
That's saying something.
It's hard to believe. They lose Aiden Hutchinson
and all those guys,
and David Ajabo, and they're doing better on the defensive line than they did last year.
Right.
They have more guys contributing. They have more speed on the defense than they did last year.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State's weakness is still the offensive line overall.
Right.
Well, I think they're better than last year, but it's still a weaker spot for them. And if Michigan can get pressure on C.J. Stroud, you got to like their chance. Ohio State's offense is better than it was last year.
which is also saying something with Olave gone, all those guys.
And Smith and Jigba's been out, too. I mean,
right.
Marvin Harrison Jr. is just incredible.
He's phenomenal, yeah.
You know, so Michigan's offense has potential to be a lot better than it was last year, although it's funny because all the hype from J.J. McCarthy is he's been accurate, but he's not doing anything special as a quarterback, really.
Right.
They don't run him that much, and his deep balls are not connecting very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he's got to hit a couple of those in this game to give them a shot.
Probably, yeah.
So, I mean, it should be a good game. You know, Ohio State's ticked off that they lost last year.
Right, and this one's at Ohio State, this is it, right?
Yeah, it's in Columbus. Yeah. So, Ohio State, I think, is opening close to a touchdown favorite, I think.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
There was a lot. I mean, there was a lot of games. Listen, you know, ranked teams right now in the college football playoff. I mean, how about TCU needing a last second, no timeout, run the special teams on the field, kick it with 4 seconds field goal to win at Baylor? You know, and there was a lot of that this weekend.
Yeah, it was a crazy weekend. I mean, Georgia, beat Kentucky by 10.
Yeah.
Struggled that game.
Struggled, yeah.
Maryland gave Ohio State everything they could handle. I mean, that score looked deceiving because they got a scoop and score on the, you know, Maryland's last play from scrimmage, essentially, as they were, you know, in desperation mode.
Right. And, you know, some of that might be expected. I mean, I guess, you know, you're looking ahead to rivalry weekend, and if there was going to be a week that would get some of these teams, that would be it. But still, there was a lot of close games that shouldn't have been that close. And I was impressed with USC beating UCLA. That was a fun game to watch. So there's a lot of good football, but this next weekend is my favorite weekend in college football. I'm sure we'll talk to Matt Baker of the Tampa Bay Times this week and get you set for Florida, Florida State, all of that coming up. We got Thanksgiving this week. Gosh, it's hard. We start these things in July, these seasons, and then before you know it, you look up and the holidays are gone, man.
Gobble, and gobble.
Already, huh?
Gobble, gobble.
Yeah. Gobble, gobble turkey stuff, as Jim Harbaugh would say, and here we are. Yeah, some of the games this week, this holiday weekend will be fun.
But not only that, but the World Cup started yesterday on Sunday.
That's right.
Ecuador and Qatar. U.S. plays today at 2:00 against Wales, and then they play England on Friday at 2:00. So,
yeah,
which is a huge game.
It is. So. What are the? I mean, are they? I don't know if they like seed these teams or like there's you know betting lines on these teams. What is the U.S. chances really?
Do they have any to win the whole thing or to advance to the group stage?
Well, look, either or
to
both.
Win the whole thing, it's slim.
Okay,
they're about the 16th, 18th ranked team in the world.
Okay,
their group, England's the favorite of the group. Wales, them, and Iran are all kind of close, within 5 or 6 spots in the world rankings of each other. So if you get a win today against Wales, you like the U.S.'s chances to move on to the group stage.
Mm-hmm.
If they lose to Wales, then it's going to be an uphill battle with England as your second game, who's the best team in the group.
Right. And who's the favorite overall in the World Cup this year?
I would say the three favorites are Argentina, Brazil, and France.
Okay.
And France, although Karim Benzema, who's the reigning Ballon d'Or trophy winner, which is basically the MVP of soccer, or at least European soccer, which is the best soccer, he's out of the tournament, so, for France. But they're still one of the favorites.
Hmm. Well, it's always fun when they're in it, if they can advance in the group. I mean, you know.
Remember, the U.S. wasn't in the World Cup 4 years ago, so it's been 8 years since they've been in.
I know. And I can remember 8 years watching them play, and I forget what establishment we were in, restaurant, bars, or something like that. Everybody had it tuned in. And it's funny because, you know, not everyone watches soccer or football, as they call it, until you get to the World Cup. But then everybody's a fan then because you're rooting for your country. So it's kind of neat, and you get to see that. So
I love. I know. I mean, some of our audience may not be soccer fans, and I'm growing into soccer, but I love the world. I love any of those international competitions.
Yeah,
the Olympics, the World Cup, the
right.
I like those big events. That's nation versus nation. I, you know, even if I'm not a huge fan of the sport, I can still watch it.
Right.
But the world, I love watching the World Cup. So,
right
now they've spaced the games out. I mean, there's going to be games today. It's 8, 11, and 2. Then the rest of the week, I think it's 5 a.m., 8 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2.
So over there, there's like an 8-hour time difference. Yeah. So how's that working out? They're playing at night?
U.S. is playing at 10 o'clock at night in Qatar tonight.
Wow.
So they got to sit around all day waiting for that game.
That's amazing.
So,
well, good luck to them. I mean, at least they're in it. At least they give the U.S. something to watch and enjoy.
Yeah. And don't look now. The Tampa Bay Lightning have won 4 in a row.
That's right. Yeah, I was going to say a big win the other night. They were in Nashville and they were trailing 3-2. They had some great looks, and quite frankly, Nashville's goaltender was on fire. He was stopping everything. Mm-hmm. They get a late goal to tie it. They force overtime. And wouldn't you know, I think it was Ryan McDonough ends up with a tripping penalty that gives them a power play, and Stamkos puts it away for the winner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's 4 in a row for the Lightning. They're now, what, third place in the division?
Not bad.
You know, 11-6-1, 23 points in 18 games. Now, they have a huge game tonight. Boston is on fire.
Yeah.
They've started the season 16-2.
That's crazy, man.
I mean, they're already 9 points ahead of Tampa Bay in the standings through 18 games.
Yeah, it's just that, I mean, they're going to run away with it now. Yeah. It'd be hard to catch them if they get so far ahead.
They're 11-0 at home. They're 5-2 on the road.
In Boston, right?
No, this one's in Tampa. This one's in Tampa.
Oh,
tonight.
It is in Tampa. Yep. Okay.
Next week they go to Boston.
Gotcha.
So see them twice in the next week plus.
Wow.
But yeah, Boston and New Jersey, who's won 12 in a row right now. They're kind of running away in the East points-wise so far. But
you know what that means, though, man, when a team's that hot? They're bound to lose soon. You just can't do that, man.
Well, but you know, the thing is, when you win a 12-game win streak this early, the good thing is you're 15-3 on the season.
Yeah.
So if you just go 500 the rest of the way.
Oh, you're a lock to make the playoffs, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're pretty much locked into the playoffs at that point.
Right.
You know, you take a lot of the hard work away. When you start 16-2 on the season, I mean, it would take a massive fail for Boston not to make the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then you don't have to, like, you know, worry about rushing guys back from injury. You know, get a guy hurt, you make sure he...
Well, that's the thing. Marchand was out for part of the year. McAvoy was gone for, and they're still 16-2.
Right.
I mean, it's been they've been incredible. It's going to be a fun game tonight at Amalie.
Love it. Love those crowds too. There'll be plenty of Boston Bruins fans around as well, I'm sure. That'll be a big one. Yeah, the Lightning are playing well. And it was a big win for them in Nashville the other day. To get 2 points because they deserved it. I mean, they had a lot of good looks, and all of a sudden they were trailing and then managed to fight their way back into it and get the win. So that's fun. So we got a busy week out with the Bucks. Of course, again, holiday week, Thanksgiving. Hope you guys are safe with that and have a good Thanksgiving. We'll be, I'm sure a lot of people are home. The kids are home from school. That's always a challenge as well. At least mine are. But we'll be here every day with the podcast. I'm sure, as I said, we'll talk to Matt Baker this week. Your mailbag questions, you can submit those anytime. I had a couple more that we can get to tomorrow on the Lightning we didn't get to last Friday. And, find out where the Bucks sit right now after their bye week. A chance to talk to some of the players out there as well as their co-defense coordinator, Casey Rogers. So that'll be coming up as well later this afternoon. So. Keep it right here. Thanks for listening. For Steve Burstick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.